The date was sometime in the 1840s, and the place was Illinois. A young lawyer suffered from such deep depression that his friends kept all knives and razors out of his reach. He questioned his life's calling. He just wanted to give up. And this is what he wrote in his journal. "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. To remain as I am is impossible." While preparing for his nuptials, the feeling of anxiety again, it was just overwhelming for him, and he asked what he was going to, where he was going. And he replied this, and pardon the language, "To hell, I suppose." Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Somebody said it. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was this man. Let me say at the very beginning, I don't know very much about depression, although I do know, and I admit that there are times in my own personal life where I have bouts of, I don't know if melancholy is the right word or something like it, but I do know this. Depression is a very complex condition. It can be rooted in spiritual, emotional, mental, biological, physiological causes, or a combination of. And if you are struggling with depression this morning, I hope that you seek professional medical attention. There is no shame in admitting that you need assistance. Having said that, I want to take a look at Psalm 42. Now, on a side note, I find it very funny that I chose Psalm 42 for this particular Sunday. I did a bad thing. I read verse 1 and I stopped and went, "Oh, this would be a beautiful sermon for Child Dedication Sunday. As the deer pants for the water, oh, my soul long." And then this week, as I began reading and looking, I realized this is not your typical traditional passage for baby dedication, as it does a lot of talk about depression and being sad, and not all parents are sad. But bear with me. I want to give you some background information to this psalm so that we can understand it better, and there are some very practical applications for all parents in this psalm. Psalm 42 is a maskil. It's similar to Psalm 32. This is a teaching psalm. The inscription identifies this as a maskil of the sons of Korah. And this refers to a family of singers. They love to sing and lead others in worship. And tradition regards this psalm as written by David for the songs or for the sons of Korah, who put it to music. And the context in which David wrote this was when he was forced to flee into the wilderness from his throne. His life was threatened. His friends had bailed on him. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was miles away from the temple where he loved to worship. David was piled on with problems. He was on the run. He was alone. He was discouraged. And this was his personal rock bottom, ground zero. He's been where some of you are today. So let's listen as he longs for the Lord in the midst of all of his troubles. Psalm 42 for the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. "As the deer pants for the waters, or for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the processions to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan to the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen. See, David gives us four steps to put into practice, and it's never too early to start teaching your children to seek God with everything that you've got. See, David begins by stating how much he longs for God. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Anybody else like to watch deer? Preferably not from your car as you're driving down the road, but any other time, they're beautiful to watch. They're absolutely gorgeous. Can we go back to the title screen just for a second? We'll get there. This picture on the title screen is a picture that I took in BC, was it two summers ago when I was there? We were out on this path walking, and just very quietly these two deer came and began to drink at the stream. It was absolutely beautiful. I just had to get a picture of it. Because I like watching deer. They're so much fun. There's something about them that makes us stop what we're doing and just look at them. And when a deer is thirsty, a deer will actually run at full speed, and it won't stop until it finds some water. And when he finally finds it, he will stick his face into the cool stream, forgetting everything else around him. And it's unusual for deer because they are normally the most skittish animals on the planet other than rabbits, right? Like they hear anything and their heads pop up and they're ready to run. But when they are thirsty, when they're panting, oh, they'll do almost anything to quench that thirst. During drought conditions, deer will actually alter their daily routine to make sure that they can find water. Now, whenever a deer senses danger, it actually will run to the stream. I've been told that it's not for the sake of trying to avoid leaving a scent trail. They're actually not worried about the scent trail. The deer, however, seeks water for a different reason. When a deer is retreating from the enemy, it develops a tremendous thirst. And the fear and the physical strain of running create this strong desire for water. And so it runs to water for that purpose, not to avoid the whatever is hunting it. And David is seeing himself as a deer on the run in a desperate search of refreshment. And verse 2 tells us that just as a deer can't wait to quench his thirst, his soul is thirsting for the living God. He wants to know God. He's seeking him with everything that he has. And it's hard for us to really get thirsty today because there is water available everywhere. Hey, we got water fountain in the hallway, we got the kitchen, we could get water just about anywhere. We don't really understand thirst, but thirst it's powerful. It must be satisfied or we'll die. Now I've got a question for you. Have you ever been spiritually thirsty? Have you ever thirsted spiritually? Does your soul pant for God? Only a living God can actually quench that thirst. The thirst that is found within the human soul, within our hearts. Just as a deer knows instinctively where to find water when it is thirsty, so too we must seek him with everything that we've got. Because if we don't, we're going to die. And we need to model this type of behavior to our children. We should never become so spiritually thirsty that we are about to die. That should never be the environment that our children grow up in. We need to show them that we can go to the water fountain. We can go to the tap, which is readily available to us, to quench our thirst for God, because we have God's word all times. We can pray and seek him 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Right? We must seek him with everything we don't. If we don't model this behavior for our children, no one else is going to. We're all thirsty for God, but not everyone comes to him to have that thirst quenched. Many times we look for other things to satisfy. But we need to model that behavior for our children to seek him first and foremost. The first step in beating any type of blues or depression or melancholy, whatever you want to call it, is to seek God with everything you've got. The second step is to be honest. As we learned in our study of Psalm 10, the spiritual life is not always smooth sailing. We have down times as well. And there are seasons in our life when we are hurting. And there are times when we wonder why God seems so far away. Well, a deer loves to find water and quench his thirst, but sometimes it gets into some trouble as well. And the problem amongst deer herds is this disease called chronic wasting disease. And symptoms include this: tremors, stumbling, and difficulty swallowing. Do you feel like you're stumbling around spiritually? Do you have tremors rocking your life? Do you have a hard time swallowing the things that have come your way? Do you have a hard time swallowing the truths of the scripture? Well, David can relate. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night. His appetite has completely vanished because of his afflictions. His only source of nutrition has been the salt from his own tears." And then in verse 7, it says, "Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves are breakers that have swept over me. As one wave seems to call the next, so too the waves of worry, the breakers of bad things have swept over him." And in verses 9 and 10, he wonders if God can somehow have misplaced him. He's so low that he feels like he's dying. He says, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God?" That's tough. That's tough. But a key part of the process in defeating depression and sadness is to be honest when you are hurting. Just be honest. As we raise our children, we need to teach them this principle. Real men and women do cry. We actually hurt. We are not supermen and women. As much as we want our kids to think like that about us, we are human. We hurt, we cry. To let them see that, to let them know that, is important. Right? You can be real before God, and you can be yourself with your children. You can also be that way here with your church. You don't have to fake it. Seek God with everything you've got. Be honest when you're hurt. And the third part of the process is to remember truth. "These things I remembered as I poured out my soul And in verse 6 he says, "My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you." And the Hebrew here conveys a strong expression of determination. I will remember. When you're in the pits and you feel like there's no way out, then resolve to remember what is true. I know that when I'm down, it's easy for me to lose sight of what is really true. Doubts creep in and despair can actually skewer my soul. And it's easy for me to lose sight of what is real and what is true. And even though I know what is true, I actually need to force myself to remember it, or I will have a difficult time overcoming the lies of Satan. Peter put it this way in his epistle, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." We need to be reminded of the truths of God. And this is important for our children because they can't remember if we've never taught. They need to remember it. As a parent, you must train up your children in the Lord. If you don't, they will never know how to live a godly life. You must model these godly principles in your life by what you say, by what you do. And when trouble comes, because let's be real, let's be honest, it will happen. With that firm foundation of Jesus, only then will they be able to remember the truths and the promises of God. So what is it that David remembers? First of all, he remembers the fellowship that he had, or that he used to have. "How I used to go with the multitude." David's alone and probably afraid, and as he thinks back to those times of sweet fellowship he had with other believers, a smile begins to form on his face, and he can't wait to reconnect with God's people again. And one of the best things that we can do when we're down is to seek out our brothers and sisters in Christ, the people of God. And I know it's difficult because when we feel low, we often want to be alone. We want to be just stop. Right? But God has put within each one of us the need and the desire for community. We are not meant to function alone. We need one another. So if you've been disengaging from people, if you've been pulling back, then determine to get back in touch with people. We are taught to be consistent in our church attendance. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Folks, we need to raise our kids in the church. This sanctuary shouldn't be foreign to them. The hallways and the classrooms shouldn't be foreign to our children. They need to know this place. They need to love this place. They need to love the church. And the church is not just the building. The children need to know your face and your face and your face and yours. Yeah, even yours. And yours and yours. Need to know all of these faces. All of them. They need to know us as their church family. Listen carefully, folks. The only way to do the Christian life is to live it in community with others. We are a team. Families, this is very important. There's a theologian named Michael Horton who has said this, "The church is not a group of friends that you have picked. It is a group of brothers and sisters that God has picked for you." So I want you right at this moment, turn to the person beside you and realize and say to them, "You're a part of my family." And when you're down, ask them for help. Okay, if it's actually your family, turn to somebody else, you know. But when you're down, ask for help. When you're up, encourage those who are faint-hearted. because we are family and that's what we're here for. And the second thing that David remembers is the sweetness of corporate worship. He says in verse 4, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. While it's important for us to be with each other, we must never forget that we're together in order to worship. And David remembers that God loves him. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. The expectation of the psalmist was that a time of goodness would return and the loving kindness of God would again be manifested to him. He's making up his mind to trust God, to do what is right, even when he doesn't feel like it. And that leads to the final step, deciding to trust God. And at this time, I'm going to get Steve, why don't you run to the junior church. I want to bring the kids in for the dedication, but in this psalm, David talks to God and he talks to himself. And it's not always bad to talk to yourself. Let me say that, because I do it all the time. But in fact, when we're down, we often need to force ourselves to remember to trust. In verse 5, and then in verse 11, again, David says to himself, self, even though you're depressed, it's time to trust God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? It's a phrase which comes from the picture of a cast sheep. And a cast sheep is a sheep that is flat on its back because it's got so much wool that its weight is literally holding it down, right? And it can't get up without the help of a shepherd. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That decision to put our hope in God, even when we can barely speak, we must let our faith conquer our fears and let hope win out over sorrow. And this is a courageous step. Are you willing to wait for God to do his work, even when you don't know how you can make it through the day? Can you choose to praise him even when your problems begin to pile up? I'm glad that the kids are back because this is for them. This is a step to choose, to decide to follow him. And as a parent, we can't do that for them. We cannot force that upon them. We must seek him with everything we've got, but we must model a life of honesty even when we're hurt. We must provide the solid foundation so that our children can remember what is true and know what is true. But we can't decide to trust God for them. They must make that one on their own. So kids, youth, this is a decision that maybe your parents made at one time. They've decided to dedicate you to the Lord, which is what we're going to do in a moment here with three children. But you have to make that decision on your own. That's up to you. And today we have three children being dedicated. And I'm looking for Brody. Is he here? He's looking pretty handsome. Brody, can you bring up the rest of your family with you? That's right. I know it's up in front of everybody and nobody likes being up here, but you know, you can't do much worse than my kid did. Come on up, Brody. I know that Bill's got a couple words he wants to share, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got to say. Go ahead, Bill. You want to say afterwards? Okay. Then I get to switch papers. Get over here. You're talking in the microphone. I got my own. There we go. You can talk too. Brittany, do you understand that the Lord Jesus would be pleased to receive and to bless Brody and to grant him the blessings of all children of God?
Yes, we do.
And do you profess faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes, we do.
Do you accept responsibility to keep God God's will and commandment, walking in the way of His ways of the Lord?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. I love it. Will you pray for this child and take care that he may learn all these things?
Yes, we will.
And will you use all diligence to see that this child be raised to lead a godly and Christian life?
Yes, we will.
And now, congregation, I ask you, will you use all diligence to see that Brittany will lead a godly life in order to raise Brody in a manner pleasing to God? Thank you for answering, we will. Can I take him? Come here. Hello, young man. And what is the full name that you have given him?
Brody Morgan Trowbridge.
Brody Morgan Trowbridge, we dedicate you at the foot of the cross as a symbol that hereafter you will not be ashamed to confess faith in Jesus Christ and the gospel. Let us pray. Father, we bring thanks to you this morning for the life of Brody. We thank you for the decision and the declaration made here by his family. We pray that you would receive him into your loving arms. May Brody, by your mercy, grow in health of body and mind, and to serve you faithfully according to your will all the days of his life. I pray that you would give thanks, or that you would give wisdom and patience and strength to Brittany as she seeks your will raising Brody. I pray that you would continually bless them as they serve you, and that these things would be passed on through example to Brody. I pray that he would know and remember you, that you are in control, and that he would seek your will in his life as he grows. Father, I pray that he would come to know you in his own personal way when he is able to understand. And until then, we entrust him to you. I ask that he would receive from you your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, be glory and honor forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Almost done. Brody Morgan Trowbridge, the strength of a castle is a foundation that it is built upon. May your foundation be that of Jesus Christ. You have been born of water. One day, may you be born again into everlasting life in relationship with your Lord. Follow Jesus, and one day you will have a castle in the sky. Amen. And the grace of Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit guide you and give you wisdom and be with you forever. Amen.
Most of you people know that about a year and a half ago, Kathy went to heaven. And this little kid, when she says, I will, she will. When she was young, she got to know Kathy quite a bit because Kathy was nursing, and so she was always interested in what's happening. And Brittany says, Grandma, when you get old and sick, I'm going to take care of you. Mm. October 20th, Kathy went in for surgery and never came out. Mm. October 20th is Brittany's birthday. Mm. So when the time was for Kathy to go, she couldn't talk anymore because she had the ventral lung or something in her throat, and so her vocal cords didn't work. Her arms, her hands were tied down with all the IVs and the PICC lines and whatever, what have you. And so the days were very, very long. When I'd be there at 9 in the morning till 7 or 9 o'clock at night, emotionally shot, and so I would go home because I knew I had to. But then I found out that this Brittany person had gone back to the hospital and stayed there most nights. So when she said, "I'm going to take care of you," she said, "I'm going to take care of you." Well, just guess what? Brody was born on August 23rd, just barely 3 days after Kathy's birthday. So Kathy's little Brittany has now said she will do her best to raise Brody. And I have made it my point as well. I'm going to do what I can to see that this little fella grows up to be a Bible-believing, God-fearing Christian. And Brittany, I'm with you all the way.
That's Amen. All. Thanks. All right, family. We've got a whole crew of you. Who's ever coming up, come on up. Oh, yes. Are you excited? Should we just do you? Yeah. Come on up. Maybe it'd be easier if we... Oh, we can fit on the stage. We can fit up here. We'll just move this over here. As long as you guys can... No, actually... All right. As long as they can hear you. Come on up. Here's... Yes, another mic grabber.
Are you going to tell
us? Well, family, do you understand that the Lord Jesus would be pleased to receive and to bless both? Get up here. Dalsvel and Odin, and grant unto them the blessings of all the children of God?
Yes, I do.
Do you profess faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes, I do.
Do you accept the responsibility to keep God's will and commandments, walking in the ways of our Lord?
Yes, I do.
And will you pray for these children and to take care that they will learn to do all these things?
Yes, I do.
Will you use all diligence to see that these children will be raised to lead godly and Christian lives?
Yes, I do.
And will you, congregation, will you use all diligence to see that these children will lead godly lives in order to raise Dahlia would do this to raise Dalsvel and Odin in a manner pleasing to God. Excellent. Now I'm going to start with Odin. Come here. Come here, little guy. And what is his full name?
Kenneth Odin Mathis Martinez.
Oh, he may not stay here. Kenneth Odin Mathis Martinez, we dedicate you here at the foot of the cross as a symbol that hereafter you will not be ashamed to confess faith in Christ and the gospel. I'll hand it back to someone. And what name have you given this child?
Dalsvel Mathis Martinez.
And Dalsvel Mathis Martinez, we dedicate you here at the foot of the cross as a symbol that hereafter you will not be ashamed to confess faith in Christ and the gospel. Let us pray. Father, we bring thanks to you this morning for the lives of Dalsvel and Odin. We thank you for the decision and the declarations made here by their family. We pray that you would receive them into your loving arms. May they, by your mercy, grow in health of body and mind and serve you faithfully according to your will all the days of their lives. I pray that you would give your wisdom, patience, and strength to Dahlia as she seeks your will in raising these children. I pray that you would continually bless her as she serves you, and that these things would be passed on through example to them. I pray that they would always know and remember that you are in control and seek your will in their lives as they are able to understand. Father, I pray that Odin would come to know you in his own personal way when he is able to understand. And until then, we entrust him to you. I pray for Dalsvel that she would also come to know you in her own personal way when she is able to understand. And until then, we entrust her to you. I ask that you receive, or that they receive from you, your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the unity of the Holy Spirit. Be glory and honor forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I'm going to give a blessing to Kenneth. Kenneth Oded Matez Martinez. Already, true to your name, you are a handsome boy. May you continue to grow even more so, both in appearance and in character. May you serve the Lord your God Almighty in a frenzied inspiration to so that others would know him as Lord. Above all, stay true and hold fast unto God your entire life. Amen. And Dallas Bell, I have a blessing for you. You have been blessed with a unique and beautiful name. And as you grow, may you desire the one and true God, who is the most beautiful dwelling of all. May he be your heavenly Father and your Lord and Savior all the days of your life. Amen. And the grace of Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit guide you and give you wisdom and be with you forever, family. Amen.
Thank you.